Hello, guys, and welcome to episode number 39 of the Heritage Agendas sure. Football Podcast. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. I'm up and down, but life is good at the moment, alhamdulillah. How are you?
Good, bro. Not too bad. Just a very busy week, both in the real world and in the football world. So I'm like, I need a breather, bro. Tomorrow like is my breather.
I feel like I'm not in the real world. I mean, I'm not in the footballing world. You are in both, so I understand you're...
I'm dying.
You're overstimulated by...
Bro, I swear, I was getting super gig impressed this week from, like, work and from football, but we move. But
absolutely, bro. It does not stop no matter what.
I know, so exactly. World doesn't stop, football doesn't stop, but it's been a very, very busy week in the footballing landscape overall. So we can start kind of with the transfers, which was funny because the last time we talked was the predictions episode, of course.
Yes.
We talked about one big signing that I wanted to start with, which was Eberechi Eze, who was like 85% of the way to Spurs. But I was saying for Arsenal when I predicted them to win the Premier League, that was my caveat, that I thought that they were going to get that over the line. And then yesterday or the day before, from when we're recording this on the 21st, literally in like 1 hour, it was insane. Like in 1 hour, they agreed personal terms, bid at 65 mil, and then got everything settled. And then in the first one, Ornstein reported it, they were saying he was going to play on Thursday versus in their Conference League qualifiers. And I remember we were texting about it, and we were like, what the hell? Like, they're playing with a 65 million deal. And then I saw news, I was crying laughing, because they were like, an Arsenal executive is with Crystal Palace to make sure he doesn't play. I've never seen that in my life. But so he did not play today. Okay, obviously. And it looks like Crystal Palace are like already, their pivot was insane because they're already trying to get Jeremy Pino from Villarreal. But kind of as an Arsenal fan, what was your first reaction? What's your thoughts overall? Does this change your expectations for the season? I know you also had you guys winning, but you know,
as an Arsenal fan, I think it was a lot more stressful than anything because the week opened with the Kai Havertz news of him being of him going down and for a long period of time. Thank God it came out today. I don't know if it's true or not that it will only be for 2 weeks, but it kind of seemed like this was in response to that injury of Kai Havertz going down and them just being so reactive to that. So I was way more like distraught with just what was going on with Kai Havertz because obviously we've started this podcast in 2022 when his stock was in the gutter. And we have a lot of moments where we're slandering him, but he's become like one of my genuine favorite players in football. So I was very sad for him because I know how last year ended as well. And then in response, Arsenal just being so fast in moving towards Eze. We don't move like that at all. Like we are not a get business. We negotiate. We send in a bid. It's rejected. Send in another one. And the third one, we finally say yes. Okay. Obviously, last week when we spoke, I was indifferent. I was like, if he comes, he comes, but I don't think he's coming. And I did not think our title hopes hinged on him being on the team or not. But now with him, I think it kind of just gives us such a versatility in terms of a creative player, a direct attacking player, in which we clearly lacked against Manchester United, where everyone was so passive. Nobody could get the ball to our new striker. And when they did, it was in positions where he's either alone up top by himself with three defenders, or he's offside, or he's literally as a winger or something like that. I think Eze is a brilliant footballer. A season he had last year delivering a trophy to Crystal Palace for the first time in however long. an FA Cup trophy, and then winning the Community Shield this summer. I loved how proactive Arsenal was, or reactive, how quickly they responded to the news of Kai Havertz going down. And I'm very welcoming of him because I think he kind of fits in as a left winger and as a number 10, which kind of helps Martin Odegaard a little bit in terms of creativity, because right now he's literally our sole person to do that. So it was, and I was getting it through you. So we're texting. I was like aware of Kai Havertz going down, but I was not aware of like everything going on with Eze. Mm-hmm. And you literally messaged me, and then 15 minutes later, you're like, it's done. And I'm like, what?
I know, I couldn't believe it. Like, Ornstein got his first tweet out with the details, and then 10 minutes later, it was like, deal done. I was like, wait, what?
Completely shocking, bro, that we are even capable of something like this. You saw how we did with Gyökeres, was a 2-month-long transfer, you know?
Yeah.
Arsenal is just very, they don't move like that. So it was shocking. But Eze is a, and then the Tottenham aspect of it, I think it was literally just a done deal, what it looked like, unless Arsenal came along. I think everyone knows Eze is an Arsenal fan. He's been a boyhood club member. So I'm very excited. And I'm also very excited that Kai Havertz's injury is not something that's like detrimental. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I think, like you said, I think you hit a lot of it. I just think the more they can get Martinelli off the field, the better. I think having someone now that, I mean, Arsenal have a lot of wing depth, which I thought was the weakness for them last year. Now you have Saka and Madueke. And I mean, Martinelli is a guy that you're relying in week in, week out. That's where I'm hesitant. But as the fourth winger from the bench, mm-hmm. he can cause a lot of damage, you know, running at fresh legs, etc. And having creativity with Odegaard, the one that shocked me was immediately after then they were going for Morgan Rogers, who I know is someone that we talked about very highly.
Yeah.
Where like that's, I think it's hilarious because they're just going to punt Odegaard out of the squad, or I don't even know how they're going to reorient everything, but with him there, unless they're getting him for the bench, which he is way too talented to sit on a bench week in and week out.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like this just kind of vindicates what I was saying last week, where there's no excuses. You have to win something this season, if it's, you know, FA Cup, Champions League, or Premier League. But I think they can win the Prem. We can kind of just jump right in and then talk about other transfers on the subject of Arsenal. The game at Old Trafford this weekend, the 1-0 win, the goal from a corner, with, you know, United kind of being at the middle of bad goalkeeping again, but then Arsenal really just holding. After that, they weren't really that threatening, in my opinion. I feel like it was a lot of United. But a very, very difficult place to play. I know Manchester United gets memed a lot, but there's a lot of hope for them this season. And Old Trafford is always a tough place to play, especially for the first game of the season. Kind of walk me through your thoughts on that game. What do you think, if it changes anything for you?
In terms of like the no excuses thing, real quick, this transfer, I think, clearly takes us as probably the club that spent the most this summer. Yeah. We were in the top three, but I think now we're probably teetering like 300 like British pounds or something.
Yeah.
But, and that's insane. I think that kind of also speaks to the level of the club and how consistent they've been over the last 5 years and how they've gotten better every season in terms of competition play and in the Prem. So for them to put this amount of funding into the project this late, I think stagnation is something that they're worried about as well as much as everyone else. Finishing number two in 3 years in a row, I think you have to keep things fresh. But the United game, I will say United looked unbelievable. Bueno and Cunha looked
unreal.
Absolutely, like, ferocious. They just kept coming and coming and coming. And although, like, the chances they had, there was one or two chances where David Raya had to make, like, unbelievable saves. But Arsenal looked like a clear they were not a title contending team in terms of just their attacking. Defensively, I think we were fine. Midfield play, I think we were fine. But in terms of just, we would literally have, there was few, like several times where it would be 4-on-2, 4-on-3 going down on transitions, and Odegaard would make the wrong decision every time, or Saka would couldn't get through Mason Mount, or Martinelli would literally head down, just run into a defender. It looked as if it was a preseason game for us, whereas United looked like this was like a step in the right direction. The project is going well, and their signings were, they stood out on the pitch. Cunha and Mbeumo looked unbelievable. But for us, for contending teams, especially the way Liverpool played, especially the way Man City played, I think we were a clear tier three team to those teams. And I think Victor Gyokeres kind of, it takes time a little bit to adapt, because we haven't played with such a direct striker in so long. That will take time. Old Trafford away, it's a tough stadium, but Man United are not who they were. That's a place we've won the last 3 years, like it's not, or three times in the last 5 years, and haven't lost there in like 5-6 years. I just think it's more like personnel, where just getting to know each other, gelling. Saka not being on his game. Saka, I don't even remember the last time Saka had a bad game, but this was an awful game for him. An awful game by Victor Gyokeres. Martinelli was horrendous, and Odegaard was good in every aspect of the game except what his job is, which is to create chances. He did not do that. So if your four attackers are having a bad game, I think everyone else just looked just down in terms of level. But that's my thoughts. I wasn't too worried, because it's the first game of the season at Old Trafford against a team that spent a lot of money on great players in the Prem. Obviously, their number one goalkeeper wasn't in the goal, and that's how we got our goal. But Man United looked good, I will say. They invested, and Šeško's appearance, he is humongous, bro. Yeah. Like, legit 6'5". He got a few header chances. He looked unbelievable for those like 20 minute appearance he did. But they look like they're heading in the right direction, whereas Arsenal, I think, need to kind of wind up a little bit and get the gears going to get to the level. I think I would rather be this slowly building up to how well we can play, rather than just starting off the gate on fire and then being hunted down by City or Liverpool in the end.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think from Arsenal's point of view, like you said, kind of slow start, but I've watched that exact type of game for Arsenal in the past couple of years, and the difference in the past has been that they're just not able to get it done. And I think that does count for a lot, that they had they didn't play their best. I thought Manchester United, frankly, played really well, especially the front. Cunha and Mbeumo were fantastic all game. Bruno Fernandes, I think, and Casemiro were good too. That's going to help them a lot to have those like attacking options. The link of play, they were just like everything. Like, whatever you can ask for a debut, they hit on every single thing. And then obviously they're going to have Šeško, who plays more in the future. Only played, you said, 25 minutes or so. But on the subject of Arsenal, yeah. I mean, the attack wasn't good. I thought they defended really, really well, which is obviously the strength of this team, is their ability to just bunker in. And I'm playing on the road at Old Trafford is not an easy place to play. And I feel like that's been almost a death trap for Arsenal in the past couple of years. You guys have struggled at that stadium.
We struggled in the past. Absolutely. We've been thrashed there a lot. But we've also won it there in terms of, we've gotten results there the last few years, but it's a stadium that, especially the first game of the season, this is basically a trap, you know, where I think Liverpool get an easy game, Man City get an easy game, and then off the bat you're facing against a team that's looking to make a point, looking to improve, looking to integrate all their signings in quickly. I know Mbeumo came in a little bit later in the summer. But he looked he clearly looked out of shape. Like, he was not in match fitness, but the amount of damage he was doing, he had Calafiori in hell. Like, we withstood that because of just, and I think, did you think it was a penalty? The Saliba Acuna incident that they ran, where Saliba took his leg out first, but still got the ball. I thought it was a penalty.
I've seen it go both ways.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen it be called. I thought it was a penalty. We got away with one, basically. But Saliba and Gabriel are defenders who get those kind of benefits of the doubt because of just how of their quality. But they were unbelievable. I was in awe of like how well they stretched the pitch. Where Mbeumo was just sitting up top, it was just hoof hoof. We didn't. Calafiori was running for his life.
The one where Mateus Cunha got it like 25 yards deep and then beat four guys, and only because Saliba.
One on one, literally went through four defenders, and it looked like what is going on here? But he's somebody that's capable of such. He's incredible. I was so moved by him.
Yeah, no, unbelievable. That was the first time
I got to watch him, like, not highlights, watch an entire game, and he was dictating every aspect of that game. There was not a position he did not play that game. He was everywhere on the pitch. But if that's your best player moving forward with Mbeumo and Cesco, I think they'll have a pretty good season. I don't think they'll do anything great, but I think it'll be a step in the right direction for sure.
Yeah. And then kind of moving on, transfers wise, not really much else. Nottingham Forest have made a couple of moves. Newcastle have been getting stiffed on Wissa, which is hilarious. They are having, like, it looked like we said, the worst window I think I've ever seen. But excuse me, moving on in the Prem, we talked about City, so we can go there next. I mean, you want to talk about a convincing win, 4-0. Haaland scored twice. Tijani Reinders was like man of the match for me. It was unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And what he was doing. And then obviously Ryan Cherki, who he's a baller, man.
He's
really good.
How old
is 21? I can't believe nobody he's went done. In.
It's
disgrace.
Yeah, one like insane. But yeah, Tijani Reinders, 55 million. I think he was one of the, for today's standard, that's almost cheap for the type of player that they got. And just like I said, insane. Obviously, Erling Haaland's going to do Erling Haaland things, two goals. But I mean, yeah, I think they've done a fantastic job with the recruitment this summer. I still think they could use another center back. The way Ederson has just been thrown to the can has been hilarious. Trafford he got the job and he's not giving it back up. So
absolutely
he had a fantastic first game.
I think they also, they look fresh. They look young, especially up top. Whereas last year it kind of looked very dead. People playing the wrong position. Bernardo Silva trying to do winger things. Grealish. And the two goals that Haaland scored are just basically what he was scoring in his first year, which is either tap-ins or transitional goals where he's just getting a clean shot at the goal and he's unstoppable. Then I think having so many creative players around him, he will reach the heights that he reached in 2 years ago. Basically, he looked rejuvenated. Whereas last year, I know he was hampered by injuries a little bit, but when you kind of know the team doesn't have it, I think he looks very excited about playing with Reinders and Cherki.
And for once, they have a bench. I think that's been the biggest thing, to bring Marmoush from the bench, to bring Cherki from the bench. Nico Gonzalez, once Rodri comes back, will be useful for minutes. So, yeah, I mean, not really much to say other than very convincing, and they're definitely going to be in the mix, I think. All of those teams, Liverpool, Arsenal, City, like I said, I can see all of them getting 80-plus or 85-plus.
It will be an unbelievable campaign. I think it will just be haymakers after haymakers, especially in the head-to-heads that we play Liverpool, not this weekend, but the following weekend, and then we play City 2 weeks after that. right after the international break. But the quality of the Prem is just unbelievable, bro. Just crazy. But the do you think how many goals do you think Haaland reaches this? I know we'll get
to the Prem or all comps?
In the Prem.
You have to say if he stays healthy at least 25, 30.
I think he's clearing 30 easily, bro. That's Salah put up 30 last year.
I know.
That's crazy. But he looked unbelievable. He literally looked so rejuvenated. I have not seen him like move like that in a full year.
I still can't believe he had 39, 38 with Julian Alvarez and didn't win the Ballon. That to me is just insane. That's a crazy agenda right there, but so the fact funny. That he had 15 goals in the Champions League and 38 goals in the Prem, he won the treble, he won the Players' Player of the Year, the Young Player of the Year, the Coaches, like everything, the UEFA Golden Ball, the UCL Player, that was just, that's crazy. Like, he really should have one in his cabinet already. He is, but it's okay. Maybe he wins one this year.
But Rodri does. It's crazy. Huh? Life is not, I said, but Rodri does. Life is not
I know, family. Right? Isn't that crazy? Life but the one I wanted to talk about as well, Sunderland. I know we were low on West Ham. I had them 17th. You had them, I want to say 16th, 17th, around there. Low. We both had them in the bottom five. They were unbelievable on Saturday morning.
They looked really good. And I saw the fans just taking in everything after the game.
At the Stadium of Wembley,
Bro, we need to tap into that Sunderland documentary where remember they were doing that documentary as they were just literally just going down, and then for them to work their way up. Because they got as low as like League Two.
League One.
Mm-hmm. So they got relegated 3 years in a row or something like that and got down to League One. But yeah, it was crazy, crazy, crazy atmosphere. Look, they looked unbelievable.
Did you know their owner is 24 or 23 years old?
No.
He's young. He might be 27, but he's really young. He's the son of a family who owns a lot of Adidas. Like it's a very rich family. But the owner bought the club when they were in league.
28 years old.
20, how old?
28 years old.
28. Yeah, 23 is a little crazy. 28. But he's young. He's one of the youngest. He was the youngest chairman. He was 23 when he got the club. That's what it was. So I was reading about this like earlier in the week. And they have done a fantastic job this summer spending, you know, so much money. I thought it meant a lot that the people who got the goals were all players who came up with them from the championship last season. Just from a recruitment perspective, Reinildo is fantastic. I thought that was a fantastic signing, and we talked a lot about this last week. On the other side, Graham Potter has been... We shall see where that goes. So
I was really excited for him, but I think West Ham is kind of... That's a tough nut to crack. But we'll see. Losing to Sunderland off the bat is an insane thing to do, but I think just the atmosphere, they were home. A little bit of like, you can make a little bit of excuses, but still, like, you have to stay up. You have to. We had West Ham at the bottom as well, but I don't know. They play, let me see. They play what, Brentford next? That's going to be a Brentford who got cooked, by the way, by Nottingham Forest. Absolutely deep fried, but.
You know how I knew I was starving for football, by the way, because I woke up at 8 on Saturday morning to watch Sunderland versus West Ham, and then I couldn't find it anywhere. By the way, Peacock and NBC, it used to be so good, like ESPN, where everything was just on one place, and now they've gotten so greedy. It's not on YouTube TV. It's not on Peacock. It's ridiculous. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know where to find it. I was looking, but I was like, okay, whatever. So then...
Watching football matches, I bro, the United game, I looked like on the Premier League app what if it was on NBC or Peacock or wherever it would be on, and it just told me NBC. I don't have NBC anywhere, so I was just watching it on some stream, And I find out it was on Peacock the entire time, and I'm like, what the hell?
Peacock is so selective. Like, where it used to be, every single Prem game was on the NBC channels, and then they made it where it was only on Peacock, and then now they do this disgusting blend where it's on both sometimes, but it's not really, and they just randomly pick. It is horrible. Like, streaming services have become so miserable.
No, it's, you have to have everything to watch. Like, it's, there's no hub for a sport, I feel like. Whereas as like football, American football is much more, there's one place you can watch all the games, like, or it's the local channels, you know. But I guess even for the UK, it's like that, where it's showed on like Sky, and it's like different packages that you can watch, like you can watch like the noon games, or you can watch the more elite games during the evening time. It's horrendous, bro. I hate it. I have my streams. As long as I have like a desktop or like a laptop, I can watch any game. But like, is that what I want to do though? Like, I'd rather just have like NBC
have the channel. Sports. Yeah, exactly.
And have access to everything. But I wasn't able to like watch everything this weekend. But next weekend will be my first viewing of like where I just sit down and I just watch Prem. I cannot wait. Or I know Serie A comes back for the first time, and La Liga is off and running. Yep, off and running. So I'm excited.
Yeah, me as well, and I'm happy because I'm finally settled now. Like, I've been moving some stuff around.
You've been doing a lot, bro. You've been doing a lot. So finally, you got the workstation, everything cooked and ready to go.
Yep.
The man cave is fully equipped to handle anything.
Any prep game now. Just in time for football, right?
Football comes back soon for you, too. Your boy Caleb looks...
Are you done with the Giants? Not to pivot, you're still done.
I don't even follow it. I'm more excited for like Archie Manning's college season than I am for anything.
Like, NFL did you even know the Giants are playing right now on Amazon?
I did not know that. I didn't even know. Bro, I just found out Jameis Winston was on my team. I was like, huh? And Russell Wilson is a.
Oh, you didn't. Like, you're really, really not plugged in.
Bro, like, I used to just know things just by being on Twitter. So now that I'm like cut off from there, I saw Jameis Winston and I'm like, how do we have Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston?
Yeah,
Winston?
And a quarterback.
And a quarterback we just drafted in the first round.
I know.
Dart is his name, I think. So he looks.
It is.
Bro, I'm not coming back to NFL football until I have a legit quarterback. I don't care if I have a 3,000 yard receiver or Saquon Barkley. I need a quarterback. You cannot watch football without a quarterback, bro.
I know, it's so bad. Horrendous. Don't worry, I've been doing it my whole life, so.
Exactly. And that's what I'm scared of. I'm scared of, like, who's the last decent quarterback you had? Jay Cutler? Was that?
You know, they never had a 4,000 yard passer, but.
Yeah.
Horrendous.
And you've had a lot, but sorry to take it on.
Yeah, no, you're good. But I was going to say, so for La Liga, we can first talk about Barcelona, who once again were involved with some pretty controversial decisions.
Okay.
First one, the Mariki. So two red cards for Mallorca in 6 minutes to start just earlier in the game. Once they went down 2-0, kind of killed the game off for them, but. Then the Rafinha tackle, which I don't know if you've had the chance to see.
I have not seen it, no.
One of the worst tackles I think I've ever seen in my life. So the guy is running.
He does some like flagrant stuff. Like every few months, he just has to do something like worthy of like banishment. But sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. The like his knee is here and he connects like this, literally hit like both legs just rammed through the guy and no red card. So that one was interesting. That kind of set up a whirlwind on Twitter.
How did it look to you?
Oh, straight red. 100%.
As a team.
Barcelona?
Mm-hmm.
Thought they looked good. I think I was expecting more changes from them this summer, to be honest. I think Rashford from the bench is going to help them a lot. I really do. I think having someone with his caliber of quality from, you know, pace perspective, from an output perspective, I think will help a lot, especially as a substitute, because against tired legs, there's honestly not, you know, many players in the world that I'd rather have than Marcus Rashford to come off a bench, just from what he brings, from a physicality, from just as direct as he is probably the best way to put it. Lamine, I thought, you know, as always, looked fantastic. His goal was incredible, by the way. Very Arjen Robben-esque, where he just cuts inside three players, pump fake, and then top corner. Other than that, pretty normal. I think having a proper goalkeeper this season, obviously Chesney was good last season, but bringing in Juan Garcia was a big help. But I still wonder for this team kind of when that drop-off is going to come. I think last year they had it a little bit in the middle of the season, but they weren't punished for it ever.
They
finished the season off in flying form. But we'll see. I think it's interesting, but I do think they still need more changes, and I think I'm interested to see if that's even possible. I know even with registering Rooney Bargee, who they made a great deal on, they've had problems just, again, because of this, well, how much Marc-Andre Ter Stegen is making, how much Frenkie de Jong is making. What do you think kind of overall about the squad for Barcelona?
I would say I am as a big Lamine believer as it comes. His campaign last year, especially in the Champions League, was just otherworldly. Like, I remember the Inter game, or the both ties, actually.
My God.
I was literally just watching, like, just what are we seeing here? Like, but seeing him wearing the number 10 shirt, I think he's finally being – I think Barca were hesitant a little bit to kind of just hand him the keys, as you should with a freaking 17-year-old coming off of a European title and stuff like that. But right now, I think he might be the prince that was promised, bro. This guy is
unbelievable.
And the way he plays, it's so freeing for everybody else. You know, he just always plays the right way. With how much chances he creates. He can get a shot off anytime he wants, this guy, but just takes his time, picks his spots. And when he does, it's I think, like, for me, we were going to discuss who would win La Liga. As, like, currently constructed, I think they're in a much better position than Real Madrid, I would say. Whereas there is flaws in the squad, but I think Real Madrid's flaws are so glaring that, especially with a new manager, Barca coming off a league title, I think they're in a much better position than than Real Madrid, I would say. And I'm picking them to win, to repeat again, which hasn't been done in the last three, 4 years. 6 years, because you guys have just been trading off one after the other. But I think Barca is really good, bro. And I think the heights that Lamine could reach, the potential is just, I know it's trending everywhere, but there was a play in the preseason where midfielder passed the ball to Lamine passed it to somebody else up front, and then Rashford just went from the halfway line, and they just put the ball in front of him, and he crossed it over to Rafinha for a tap in. Like, when you see stuff like that, like those little instances where they can create a chance or a goal
from nothing,
what seems like 5-10 seconds, that is probably the deadliest, like, combination that they're unbelievable when it comes to just attack. Obviously, there's flaws in their defense. There's their midfielders. The midfielders are up and down. But that front three, if Lewandowski can hold it together for another year, I think they are, like, they're as good as anybody in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I just think this year they'll slip up, and I think another team takes advantage, whether that's Madrid, whether that's Atletico. I think it's going to be a lot closer than last year, obviously. I just think Madrid have the deeper squad, and I think that's going to be the difference. I trust the bench for Madrid more the question is from a health perspective. I agree with you that Madrid have more glaring weaknesses in their squad. Excuse me. Center back, for one, is a really big one. And they still don't have a controlling midfielder, which I think if we went into the season before the window and I told you weaknesses, I would say fullbacks, center backs, controlling mid, maybe a winger. Fullbacks has been addressed. I thought Trent and, I mean, Carvajal and Vasquez versus Trent and Carvajal is like night and day. Trent and Carvajal are probably the best set of right backs at the same club in the world. Having Carvajal from the bench or being as a rotational option is fantastic. I would not be surprised if we see Trent maybe kick up as a right midfielder and Carvajal maybe tuck in as a third center back sometimes as an alleviation. Carreras, I thought, was really good for his debut. Yeah. Still questions for the second left back, but Fran Garcia was really good in the Club World Cup, obviously. To pivot, Xabi Alonso is a fantastic liar because Rodrigo not playing definitely means something, even if he wants to pretend that it doesn't. I think it's very obvious that they're trying to unsettle him because on the tier list of what's going on in terms of needs, probably Perez has said we've spent too much money this summer. If we sell Rodrigo, then maybe we can bring in Konate and Stiller or whoever the profile that he's looking for. But yeah, I still think they need a center back. Eder Militao has been really, really good since he came back. But two knee injuries in as many years is not someone that you want to rely on. That's exactly what happened with Rudiger last year, and we're kind of seeing the results. Huijsen is unbelievable. That is like a home run signing, and it's only been 6 games for the club, but he already is probably the first or the second guy in the team sheet, which is just crazy as someone of that age. Just his physical ability being, you know, 6'5", amazing with the ball, good at dribbling, good in the air, like fantastic. And Mbappe, I thought a really good game from him, won the penalty, scored obviously from the spot. Thank God he's the penalty taker this year. He needs to stay the same. I don't want to see a rotating pool of takers anymore. He is a very good penalty taker. He just needs to stay on the penalties. Brahim, I thought, was poor. And then Bustamante is exciting. I think the biggest mistake from a Madrid perspective is I still don't understand why they got rid of Luka. I think in this system, having him as a guy who can give you 15, 20 minutes from the bench and control the game is immensely valuable. For Milan, he was fantastic this past weekend, or I think a week and a half ago. But we'll see. Kind of Guler has to pick up the slack, and then obviously Kamavinga and Bellingham are still injured.
Ways away.
Yeah, so I mean, we'll see. I think Madrid will win it this year barely. But I just think it's because of their depth, and like I said, I think Rodrigo's gone. So sorry, I know I just said a lot, but
no. Rodrigo needs to go. That's the thing. Like there's no role for him in this squad, I don't think. But who's out there that you could, like, there's still, like, Jude's out until what, mid late September, October?
Yeah.
That's gonna take a toll on these two, on Vinicius and Mbappe too. Even this game, you see they can do damage together. That's not a problem. But there's like no end product in their attacks. I would prefer, like, now, do you prioritize getting, you know, a winger or a striker, or are you prioritizing, like, at least the funds that come in from Rodrigo, getting a proper midfielder that can at least play within, like a Cruz type of midfielder that can give the ball to these people rather than having Tchouaméni there, who's just, you know, a destroyer pretty much, who can't really hold the ball or anything for long periods of time.
No, I honestly think a center back. More than another those two. Yeah, 100%. Konate, I think, if I had to choose. Because I think he is available.
Yeah. Konate is coming. And that's one of the things. Like, Huijsen is so good right away that you have to get him somebody that's, you know, that he can play next to, or else your season's over with.
Yeah, the problem is now if Huijsen goes down, you're relying on Militao, Rudiger, and Alaba. And Rudiger and Alaba are, I mean, Rudiger, when healthy, is great. Alaba has fallen off from a form and from quality perspective, in my opinion. Obviously, the ACL injury doesn't help, right? And he's not getting any younger. That's the problem with being a club like Madrid, is when you're such, you know, such a revered club, the biggest club in the world from a stature perspective, people get there and they just don't want to leave.
Absolutely.
And like, I don't blame Alaba or I don't blame Rodrigo for not wanting to leave. The problem is just like, they just don't have place in the squad. Like Mastuanto is clearly was brought in to be a replacement for him. Being a natural left-footed right winger is something that Madrid have not had in their squad for a couple of years now, and is something that's immensely valuable, plus the playmaking he brings from that side. So we'll see. I mean, I think if I had to choose like a center back first, then a midfielder, preferably both. I don't think they're going to bring in anyone for the attack. There's no one I think that fits their profile of what they're looking for. Plus, to his credit, and this is something that we've been talking about for a very, very long time when it comes to Madrid, the one thing I like about Xabi Alonso is he's not afraid to play kids from the academy. I think Gonzalo Garcia has been a revelation from his performances in the Club World Cup, because they were looking at Budimir and they were looking at Voltimada from Stuttgart. And, you know, they have someone who they can bring from the bench who looks very, very well-rounded and will be very helpful, especially against teams that play a lower block, because other than him, there is no attacker that's good in the air. So, yeah, we shall see. I think this Madrid squad, what we're looking at now, is not going to be the final squad. I think there's going to be some shuffling in the last 2 weeks.
I don't... Is it La Liga or bust for Xabi? Like, he has to win something with... Because right now, you came off at least being... You know, you won the Champions League, you won La Liga, added Mbappe, and then kind of fell off a cliff in terms of just winning trophies. This year, is Xavi being at least doing what Hansi Flick did last year? Seeing Hansi Flick won the La Liga and then did a little bit of, you know, made some noise in the Champions League, which Barca haven't done for years. Is that kind of like the trajectory you're looking at within the squad, or is it rebuilding still? Because I think it was a complete team, and then you added Mbappe, and then it's just fallen off pretty much.
Well, they lost Cruz, to be fair.
You lose a player, you have to replace. And it takes, I feel like it takes you guys 2, 3, 4 transfer windows to kind of, like, how long have you been complaining about fullbacks? This is the first.
Oh, Real Madrid are a very reactive club. And we've talked about this from a frustration perspective, that they don't anticipate issues. They just react to when they happen. Yeah. And exactly. I've been screaming about fullbacks from 2 years ago. And I will be screaming about a center back until they get a center back. And the same with a midfielder. The same with a proper number nine. Although I do think Mbappe can work in that role. Mbappe's better on the left. Vinicius is better from the left. There's no way around it. Like you said, they can clearly exist with one another. From a defensive perspective, without the ball, the effort just has to be there. And I think to answer your question of, like, is it La Liga or bust, Real Madrid's coach is always going to be in a position where if they're not winning trophies, they're on the hot seat. Do I think that's necessarily fair for the hand he's been dealt? Excuse me? No.
Yeah.
But it's just the reality of the situation. If he doesn't win a trophy this year, there's going to be a lot of questions. But I have a good feeling for Xabi Alonso. I think tactically he's fantastic. He definitely has a squad that's capable of winning La Liga. This is not like last season where I thought Ancelotti was really like held out to dry and they didn't give him any investment. Like, he's been given 2 fullbacks, a right winger, and a center back. So, like, clearly there's been investment in the squad, to be fair. But there needs to be more. I think there needs to be 1 or 2 more names. But I think he brings home a trophy this year. I would be very surprised if he did not.
I think, like, I don't think if you're Liverpool, you're not letting Konate go without Gay coming in, and I don't think Gay is going to Liverpool. So you're kind of at a standstill where you're going into the season. Oh yeah, Konate is coming next year, guaranteed, no questions asked. But I think especially Hoytson, he's young. Like at Real Madrid, you're going to play 60, 70 games. And Trent is same thing. Where there's obviously Carvajal is there, but Carvajal is in his mid-30s now, you know?
Yeah.
I think Trent would help you guys in midfield, though. I think that's something that...
We have Gareth Southgate Jr. now. Do you remember when they played him in the Euros as a DM for two games, and then how much he was getting memed, Southgate? They were like, wow, like they think just because he's good at passing, you can just throw him in the midfield.
No, that was the Euros, right?
Yeah, with Declan as a double pivot. That was the worst. Like, I am
they
really...
tried in the first game of the and it was just horrendous.
I know.
No. I think Trent is.
He is so disrespected. He is. He didn't play that well this game, but he is so good.
His defense has improved by light years, man. He's a great player. For even him to come in and. Like for Xavi to be like, okay, you're my starting right back, is that's over Carvajal, you know, someone who's so established. But I think your back line with a new center back, I think your back line, if everyone's healthy, is fine. Like, I don't think that's the, like, I think you'll be fine. Even you have Asensio on the bench, you have Alaba and Rudiger and what's his name? The Brazilian. Him, if they stay healthy, that I feel like that's good depth, but two of them are coming back from ACL injuries.
Exactly. It's a big if.
Been down last year.
Yeah.
So right now it seems like one person goes down out of that 11, whether it's a right back, left back, midfielder, attacker, Vinny or Mbappe, I think you have a long ways of to overcome. But I don't know. I'm excited for Xavi. I don't know if they could sell Rodrigo for the numbers they want, though. That's tough in this
country. They can definitely get 100 million.
From who, though? I don't,
Tottenham is the only one that's left that I can think of. Or Man City, if Tottenham gets Savio.
Yeah. Tottenham, I think they've been striking out a lot recently as well. So, but Rodrigo, I think, is a hot commodity, but in terms of value... Like you haven't really seen him in his position in two and a half years. How are you going to invest $100 million onto somebody that you don't know what they look like in their preferred position? But do you think Vinny has fallen off? That's what I've been reading a lot.
I thought he played well, to be honest.
I thought he played well,
I
too.
I think him having, for the first time in his career, an above average offensive fullback is going to make the world of difference. And having Arda sitting right behind him to help with the playmaking, I think he's been put in a very good position to succeed. Not to give him excuses, because I thought there were long periods last season where he was off form. But yeah, having Carreras behind him, the amount of one-on-ones he got versus Osasuna was like 50 times. I can't remember the last time Vinicius has gotten that many one-on-ones, because he's such a good dribbler where now teams will just stick to. But the good thing is now you have Carreras, who's been really good at making the runs. So from a tactical perspective, like I'm expecting Vinny to just do more just because of that alone, if that makes sense.
Yeah. One thing I'm looking forward to is El Clasico matches. Because last year you guys went 0-4. And that was one thing that propelled Hansi Flick to win the league, because he just, whenever you guys got close, he beat you guys. Three trophies, basically. I think Alonso, that's where he can make his bread and butter, is when Barca comes, like, you have to win. And that can kind of take care of a lot of the, you know, the 3 points they pick up from a penalty here or a red card not given here and there. You have to win those head-to-head matches.
Yeah, no, I think they're not going 0-4 this season. Hopefully not, but... I would be shocked. Let me not get myself clipped, but I would be...
Knock on wood.
I would be shocked to say they go 0-4.
Last year was bad, bro.
The worst one was the second game where they were winning.
The first El Clasico where Mbappe had 972 offsides.
Honestly, to me, the worst one was the last La Liga game where they were up 2-0 and I felt zero safety. I was like, I can't wait for them to find a way to lose this game. So,
yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it. But Alonso has, I think him and Hansi Flick, they're a little bit, that's the kind of, I want to see those kind of results, what we saw from Hansi Flick last year. But he does not have a Lamine Yamal in his squad, man. There's no one of his caliber in Real Madrid's team. No, I'm just kidding.
Nah, come on. I was about to say. Well, we'll end with a couple of predictions before we get to 3-5-2. Golden Boot, I have a feeling this is going to be pretty quick.
This is the easiest one, and I think we both agree. Because the way Haaland looked in that first game, he might score 50, bro. No, I'm kidding. In all competitions, he will get 50. But in the Prem, I think he'll get. Last year, it wasn't even a competition for the Golden Boot. It wasn't even close. This year, I think it'll be a little bit tighter. But I think Haaland kind of takes it by a few goals. Because Haaland only scored like 22, 23 goals last year. I expect that to go up by 10.
Yeah.
Only is crazy because the previous year he had 37. So,
oh my God.
15 goals down is about, he was hurt for a little bit of the season.
That record, by the way, he has of that quickest player to 3 hat tricks. Have you seen that graphic?
Mm-mm.
It's like Michael Owen, 154 games, Ruud van Nistelrooy, 140 games, Erling Haaland, 8 games. 3 hat tricks in 8 games.
I think the third one he scored against Newcastle, where he literally shoved someone out. Like, just, do you remember that?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, he's unbelievable, bro. That was when I was like, oh, we don't have a chance.
The first game. I remember the first game against West Ham where De Bruyne played him in, and he went to full speed. I've watched him play it like live. He's incredible, by the way. In 2 steps, full speed, reoriented himself like this without touching the ball and placed it far corner. I was like, this guy is just different.
You can literally see him just shifting his weight. The ball is just moving.
At full speed, like De Bruyne really put pace on that pass. And he just reoriented himself and opened the angle against Fabianski, I think, or Areola. And just slotted it far corner. I was like, this guy is just different.
No, bro. He signed that freaking death row contract. So I don't know if there's ever going to be a improvement. But what he is as of now is
no, he's incredible.
Is terrifying. But
yeah,
but I think you agree.
100%.
Yeah.
Not even close. If he stays healthy.
That's a gamble, I would put anything on that if I could gamble.
Yeah, he is incredible. And player of the year,
it depends on who wins the league. So I was looking, the PFA awards were a couple days ago, I think like Wednesday or Tuesday, and we had Declan Rice, Saliba, Gabriel in the starting 11. And I think Saka wasn't there because he missed a half the year. And then the rest were like Liverpool players. And then there was a Bournemouth player and Isak on there. And then Salah won PFA Player of the Year, right?
Yes.
I think so. I think it would – if I'm picking my team to win the league, so I'm picking Arsenal, I would pick Declan Rice probably. I think he's probably the only player that can win it with like no stats. You know, just because of the English the English player in him, like he'll just, oh, he uplifted everybody, you know. But he had I think I would pick Declan Rice because I think Arsenal wins the league. Arsenal wins the league, the best player on that team, I think, deservingly wins the PFA Player of the Year award. Not to jinx my team, but I'm all in. So. Victor Gyokeres has a chance too.
I think it's between him, Saka, Rice, Saliba. Those are the 4. I honestly think it's Gyokeres or Saliba. If I had
Gyokeres, I think We'll see because we play Leeds this weekend. Depending on how he responds to that, and now Kai Havertz being out, so there's no way he's getting benched anytime soon. He could make some noise if he gets one or two goals. But I think he's more of like a, if you're like Haaland to win PFA Player of the Year, you have to win him. Like I don't think Gyökeres will put up 37 goals. I think if he gets 20, 22, it's a great year for him. So I would pick Saka too. Saka, I think if he takes that next step where his stats match the caliber of player he is, I think last year he would have hit that 30 goal assist mark.
Yeah.
If he wasn't injured. If he hits those numbers, and I think he can easily if he's healthy, I think he has a chance too. But it just depends on who wins the league. I think that's who they usually pick from. I don't think anybody else really has a chance.
Yeah, I think Saliba takes it, man.
Bro, he is unbelievable, bro.
That Mateus Cunha was crazy.
The tackle?
No, the one-on-one with Cunha. Bro, the way he beats... I remember against... you were at that game, the Champions League, the second leg. And yes, he had a one-on-one against Mbappe. Bro, on this. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I was like, I literally was just like, fair play. Like, we're not beating
him. Bro, he's a wall. Like, it's and Gabriel, who is a little bit more reckless than he is, has completely been brought down in terms of like intensity. Like, they read the game at such a high level. There's no recklessness in there, in at least Gabriel, which I think I give a lot of credit to Saliba because he's so composed 24/7. I'm like, why is he? Remember, I used to hate Kai Havertz for like the nonchalant gimmick, but Saliba is literally just stone faced, moving 24/7. But as a defender, I think I love that quality rather than like an intense person that kind of lets tackling do the talking, where that you'll get punished, especially like against the likes of Mbappe. You give him an inch, bro. That's either a penalty or a goal. Like, it's not even anything, but Saliba's unbelievable. I would pick... right now, he's 3 years in a row in the PFA Team of the Season, bro. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
And that's a guy we've been sending on loan for... he's been at our club for 5 years, and he's only been playing 3 years, and those 3 years, he's been in the Team of the Season. Unbelievable.
That's ridiculous.
And then the PFA Young Player? Who do you have for that?
I said Cherokee.
This award is the worst award, bro, because a 26-year-old can win this award.
No, I think it's changed now. It's 23 and under.
23 and under? Because yeah. I think Morgan Rogers won this one. But who do you think would win?
I said Cherokee.
Oof. That's a great pull.
Dude, he's so good. Did you watch the Nations League game against Spain a few months back?
When
France versus Spain,
two goals, right?
He came on, scored like a half volley, and then played a beautiful ball to Kolomwani like a minute later.
That was the like a 5-6 thriller, right? Where it was like they were down 3-0. Like
they were down 5-1 and they lost 5-4, I think.
SubhanAllah. No, I watched because I was. I remember I went to go look at Lacazette. Like every now and then, I check on my boy how he's doing.
That guy made you suffer a lot, man.
I pray on his downfall.
Still, the best slander name ever, by the way, Alexander Lack of Threat. That is like the best, the best Twitter name ever. I swear that one and SpongeBob with the SZ. But yeah, I don't want to. Too much, too off topic, but yeah, Lack of Threat is the best slander name ever.
Bro, remember, this takes me back, bro. Remember those, Lukaku, Lacazette, Morata? Bro, where was football then? Oh, I am crying.
Nah, it was peak.
Oh, my goodness. I think So I check up on him every now and then. So I saw this like mix that they had of that Lacazette posted, and it was 90% Ryan Cherki highlights. And one of the Lacazette highlights was him giving him a tap in and him scoring. But what I saw, I was like, and then I saw the disputes in the transfer and stuff like that that was going on, and it looked like somebody would have him for peanuts. And City got him for peanuts, bro. And nobody else was even in the running for him. That's a great shout. I think I would pick the best young player last year in the league, which was Miles Lewis-Skelly. I think he didn't play the entire season. And right now, I think he's the second string left back because of just Calafiori. Very homer of me, but I would pick Miles Lewis-Skelly because of just his versatility. He is a lockdown defender, and he can, especially he rose to the occasion in probably the biggest match he'll ever play, probably for the foreseeable future, which was against Real Madrid.
It was fantastic. Unbelievable.
No flaws, no mistakes. I think seeing his rise last year, and he wasn't even the anointed one. It was Ranieri who was supposed to be the one to take the league by storm, and for him to just be the same age and produce at such a high level. And I don't know if you remember last year, Haaland was asked about Miles Lewis-Skelly, and he was like, who? And then he did the celebration after we cooked them 5-1 or yes, something like that, 0. He has that dog in him, which I really, really like.
And he's like 19 now, or 18, 19, and he starts for England. Yeah. So
crazy. And Tuchel loves him, bro. So
he's fantastic. I against Madrid, he was really, really good.
Yeah. You guys learned the true Arsenal. Those two legs.
I can't believe the only times we played you is that Henry garbage and then that.
Bro, we have an unbeaten record against you guys. If I don't play you guys ever again, I'm happy. I'm content, bro. I saw Declan Rice make 2 free kicks, bro. Oh, my God. I was living in a simulation.
I know, dude. That first game was so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, bro. Oh, my goodness. I will say, Mbappe missed that chance with where Raya just saved it. It was where that was the only chance that you guys had, but second leg was Martinelli dunked on you guys to just kind of put up.
Oh, that's right. Oh.
Yeah.
You know, we lost that game the first leg 40 seconds into the game. Game started and they had a 3-on-2 with Mbappe, Vinny, and someone else on the right. I can't remember who. And Mbappe shot from 30 yards, like straight down the middle. I was like, yeah, we're not winning this game, man. I've seen enough. I know my club too well.
Yeah, Mbappe, I think he was subbed off in the middle of the game for like some kind of injury, but I think he was done being in a padded cell. But that was my first time of it, like ever experiencing like the Real Madrid aura, you know, of like, oh, the dome is open. Oh, the dome is closed. Like it was, I had fear, bro.
How was it? The atmosphere.
Bro, that shit was shaking. Oh, really? My goodness. We were sitting in a right above like the Madristas. So literally where they have like,
the big Tifo. Yeah.
So they were holding and it was nonstop before the game. Like 20, 30 minutes before the game, they just started. And the entire stadium was shaking, bro. When you guys got that penalty and then it was reviewed, I've never heard a sound like that in my entire life, bro. Bro.
The Courtois save.
And then I think you guys, at one point, you guys thought you guys had a penalty or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes, yes.
The roar from that when it was like, oh, he did it. And then he went to go look from the handball. It was, and the roar from the Courtois save, it was, bro, we got to go, bro. We have to go again. If we play again, me and you got to go.
Let's do it.
I'm so addicted, bro, to it.
Like, European football is just so different.
Huh?
You have to go. So I went to the Euros.
Yes.
Incredible.
Bro, I've been to like NFL games. I've been to NBA games. And I was like, I would much rather be at home watching this on TV than being. But you've experienced everything and more with, because I think football stadiums are so much bigger too than NBA. stadium. So it's just ground shaking, bro. I was so moved. You guys have an unbelievable. The stadium inside is unbelievable. Outside, it kind of looks like a freaking Tim Pot can, but inside is super nice.
Man, bro. I need to go. That's my bucket list.
No, we have to go. If we play, we're there.
100%. Let's do it.
And then the World Cup tickets start going on sale next month, bro. We got to pick our games.
Is it September?
In September, yeah.
Oh, good looks.
I think they only have them available to, like, Visa users, but we can.
We're good.
I have a Visa, too, so we're good.
I have a Visa. All right, we'll wrap up with the prediction segment, 3-5-2, three predictions each, 5 minutes on the clock. You want to kick us off with your first?
I would say Gyökeres makes his – I think he looked so defeated in that game. Seeing him walk off the pitch, I didn't really like his facial expression. As the great Bill Simmons likes to say, he's a body language doctor. I was not impressed with his body language. I think he's somebody who's so hungry for goals that anytime he doesn't score, it's the same. So I think he gets off the board. It's Leeds. The newly promoted side, I think he puts up numbers. I will say 2 goals, and then we win comfortably to get ready for Liverpool in the following weekend.
I will say by this time we're talking, when do we talk again? Next Thursday.
Thursday, yeah.
Monday is the ESOC Bowl, Newcastle Liverpool. Having those two executives in the same place, I think it's done. By the time we talk next week, I think he's a Liverpool player.
Do you think they get the price they want, though? Do they get 140?
I think they get 120 plus incentives. Pounds, by the way, not euros.
Pounds, yeah. If, bro, 120 for somebody you got for 70 is selling him for 2 years later. Oof. Does that change the title race for you? Is it clear Liverpool ahead of Arsenal then?
I don't know. I still think Arsenal are my favorites.
Bro, you are a real ass nigga. Oh my goodness.
But no, it definitely is. Their team would be crazy. So.
Yeah, bro. That attacking. Oh, what's his name? Etiquite.
Not a he fun name. Really That's he not looks a fun incredible. He his first really two good. Games, he's been incredible.
He looks really good.
Number two.
But my second is, I believe, Tottenham play Man City.
Yep.
Tottenham coming off a 3-0 win. Man City coming off a 4-0 win. Also, Tottenham coming off the Eze disaster. I think that will be – I don't think Tottenham's going to have that bad of a season, bro. I think with their manager and just the little cracks they've closed, I think they should be able, and they're usually a team that gives Man City a hard time. But I'll say I think Man City drop points, whether it's a loss or a win, or a draw. I think they drop points to Tottenham. I believe Tottenham is home too, which Man City have a really hard time playing in that stadium, except that when we needed them to lose for a league title. I will never forgive Heung-min Son, bro, ever. For missing that chance, ever. He was so bad to me.
Do you remember after when they asked Ange about like the if you guys lost on purpose and how angry he was?
Bro, I miss Ange so much. I miss him.
I know.
I miss him, bro. Oh my goodness. But
he is so funny. He is so unserious for that. Oh my goodness.
Bro, he had at least 10 interactions like that where he just looks at the reporter like, why are you asking me something like that?
Yeah, like you asked the coach if he lost on purpose. And I think that was like their game for top four too. So
it was, coach, yeah.
That was lost such a
four, that was... And they lost us the league, fucking dickhead. but that was Heung-min Son, literally like 80-something minute chance to win us the league. And he said, no thanks.
I know.
But I think Tottenham, I think, will have a pretty good season. They're in the Champions League coming off of you. They're gonna do pretty good because I think they're gonna go out and maybe get what's his name, the Man City winger, the they need to get him. So Savio. If they do, I think that, yeah.
I have my second being Real Madrid. So at newly promoted Oviedo, and I think this is kind of where we see the first. This is a trap game, I will say.
Absolutely.
But this is a flex their muscles game, I think. I say 3-0.
Bro, you haven't scored three goals in like two full years. I know that.
I know. Like I said.
I think the craziest game that you went off was the Dortmund game where you guys scored five past Dortmund and you guys were down like 3-0 or something like that.
That was insanity.
I don't think you guys have had a true showing of like, I don't think there's ever been a game where Mbappe was in Super Saiyan form and Vinny has been in Super Saiyan form. It hasn't happened yet. I would like to see that, but they need to do something about those two. But I will make a broader prediction for long term prediction. Who won the La Liga Golden Boot last year?
Mbappe.
Damn, never mind. Never mind. I don't think I have a third prediction. I'm sorry. I think this is too early for me. So, but I was gonna say Mbappe does not or what's his name repeats. But I knew Mbappe won by like two goals.
Nah, say it with your chest.
No.
Come on, because you haven't picked against us in 2 years, so we need to get back on the road.
And I'm not, bro. Look, the 1 year I don't pick against you guys, what happened? You see what happened?
I know.
I'm not picking against you guys at all, ever. So, but what do you have for your third?
The last one, well, Chelsea we didn't talk about, but they really struggled on the weekend. And this weekend they play Graham Potter for the first time since they sacked him.
Yes.
And
Did you see the graphic of our boy what's his name? Cole Palmer? Hasn't scored an open play since January.
Yeah, that ends this weekend. That was exactly my prediction. I'm happy you said that because that was exactly my prediction. I say 2-0 and he ends his he ends that streak.
The way Cole Palmer looked in the Club World Cup.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know if he'll touch those heights again, bro. He looked like the best player in the world. Unbelievable player, bro.
That second goal against PSG where he sat two guys down and then just slotted it.
Bro, the way he looks off people with just his eyes while he's like moving at full speed is he has like so much tech in his game that you wouldn't expect from like a British player, because there's no physicality in his game. It's just skill. Unbelievable. I can't believe City let him walk, bro. They're gonna regret that. He would have cooked with freaking
Haaland. My god,
he would have, and he did for a little bit because they played in that I don't know if it was the
Community Shield he scored against Arsenal, and then
the Super Cup. That's where he played a little bit, and then they refused to put him in the first game of the season. He was like, "I gotta get out of here," and just left. But I can't wait, bro. I'm gonna my first weekend where I'm just gonna sit and watch this entire Prem games. I can't wait for City. I cannot wait for Liverpool. And bro, I'm not expecting anything from Newcastle, but they have to fight, bro. You cannot let them come in like. Do this
beat
to you,
so, and then take your best
yeah
player.
Like at least leave with something, you know.
I know that Fulham, it's gonna be a great Fulham United mm-hmm. Sunday I'm really looking forward to as well,
bro. United might, what I saw what they did to us, they might give somebody like 6 or 7, bro, this year.
I know,
like it is, those two are absolutely ferocious, bro. Sheesh. But if Sesko hits for them. And Cunha and
watch
and,
out if he hits.
If he hits, it's over. It's because, oof, bro, Sesko looked good, man. 20 minutes I saw, I was like, we need that. But I got to support my man. I got to support my man, Gyökeres, inshallah.
Inshallah. All right. Yeah. Next week is number 40.
Yes, sir. took us 2.5 years to get to 40, but we got
it's
there.
Okay, we move.
We'll get there next week, inshallah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening and watching, as always. And we will see you next week.
Absolutely, bro. Peace.
Peace.
Take care, everyone.
Yeah.